Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. This is John Wadsworth talking to you live from Pearl River, and I'd like to discuss this morning out of the book of, or not discuss, but read to you from the book of the commentary, the Genesis Record, a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings by Henry M. Morris. The Genesis Record is by the Institute for Creation Research. So we're going to be reading page 22, beginning, who wrote Genesis? The book of Genesis, in common with all the other books of the canonical scriptures, was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. The question is, however, exactly who were the holy men? Who were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the marvelous words of the book of Genesis? There have been three main suggestions, or perhaps groups of suggestions attempting to answer the question. And we'll discuss the first one today. Number one, various writers after Moses. Most so-called liberal theologians and commentators, along with not a few conservatives, have followed the theory that a number of unknown writers and editors during the period of Israel's history from about the time of King Hezekiah to that of Ezra, the scribe, compiled and edited several old legends and traditions, verbally transmitted not only by their own Israeli ancestors, but also by the Egyptians, Babylonians, and others, into the book of Genesis. Presumably, they then allowed the story to be circulated that these had come down from Moses in order to invest them with the authority of their great lawgiver. This is the documentary hypothesis and had been applied not only to Genesis, but also to the other books of the Pentateuch and to Joshua, and in a lesser degree to many of the other books of the Old Testament. It is also called the J, E, D, P hypothesis, the letters standing for supposed writers of the respective portions. The Jehovah's document, supposedly dated about 850 BC, was marked by the use of the divine name Jehovah. The Eloist document, about 750 BC, was marked by use of the name Elohim. The Deuteronomist document was supposed to be a further editorial emendation of the first two, dated about 620 BC, containing especially most of the book of Deuteronomy. And finally, the priestly document represents supposed editorial revisions by a group of Jewish priests around 500 BC. Adherents to this odd idea have attempted to justify it on the basis of supposed peculiarities of language and style, references to customs and cultures and other internal evidences, which seem to them to warrant this patchwork approach to the study of the book's compilation. No doubt their real reason, however, was their basic commitment to the evolutionary concept of man's development. The original higher critics, as such scholars were called, to distinguish them from the scholars known as textual critics, whose work it is to try to determine as accurately as possible from all the old manuscripts the original text scripture, were convinced that man had not evolved to the state of culture described in Genesis until much later than the time of Moses, and that in fact Moses could not have written any part of Genesis or the rest of the Pentateuch since writing was unknown in his day. These higher critics maintain that some of Genesis, especially the material in the first 11 chapters, had been derived from myths of the ancient Babylonians. These evolutionary presuppositions were quite false, however, and most of them have been thoroughly repudiated by modern archaeological excavations. Today, it is beyond question that writing was practiced widely and in many forms long before the time of Moses. This is acknowledged even by evolutionary anthropologists. One of the leaders in this field, Ralph Linton, says, writing appears almost simultaneously some 5,000, 6,000 years ago in Egypt, Mesopotamia, and the Indus Valley. The time of Moses, of course, was only around 3,500 years ago. Similarly, archaeologists now recognize that the cultural indications in Genesis, at least from the time of Abraham onward, are exactly what would be expected of eyewitness records from those times. Dr. Nelson Gluck, generally acknowledged as the leading Palestinian archaeologist of our times, has said, for example, as a matter of fact, however, it may be stated categorically that no archaeology discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference. Scores of archaeological findings have been made which confirm in clear outline or in exact detail historical statements in the Bible. In the context of this statement, Gluck was speaking particularly of archaeological discoveries having to do with the general time and place of Abraham, hundreds of years before Moses. In similar fashion, linguistic studies by numerous first-rate biblical scholars have repeatedly shown that there is no real substance to the claims of the higher critics that the language of Genesis was much later than the time of Moses. Undoubtedly, the underlying reason for the documentary hypothesis was the evolutionary prejudice of liberal scholars, who were unwilling to concede that monotheism and high culture could have prevailed during Moses' day. The higher criticism has been simply an application of an awakened critical faculty to a particular kind of material and was encouraged by the achievement of this faculty to form its bold conclusions. If the biologists, the geologists, the astronomers, the anthropologists had not been at work, I venture to think that the higher critics would have been either non-existent or a tiny minority in a world of fundamentalists. Although this book is not the place for a detailed discussion of evolution and the scientific fallacies, it can certainly be said that the scientific case for evolution has been thoroughly repudiated by creationists scientists in recent years. There is much good material now available supporting scientific creationism, and there is no more basis at all for the evolutionary argument for the higher critical. The documentary theory of the authorship of Genesis is not the view advocated in this commentary. While occasional reference may be made to it later, wherever appropriate by way of illustration, the concern herein is not with these details, either of textual criticism or of so-called higher criticism. The book of Genesis is assumed, with good reason, to be authentic as to date and authorship, and to have been transmitted down through the centuries essentially intact in its original form. And this is John Wadsworth, and just a reminder that for over 50 years, the Institute of Creation Research has equipped believers with evidence of Bible's accuracy and authority through scientific research, educational programs, and media presentations, all conducted within a thoroughly biblical framework. For more information, visit ICR's website at icor.org.